You know, take some beautiful pictures of the Milky Way and the constellations. And, you know, I got my tent. I got my backpack. I got all my food. I got everything prepared. But guess what? Okay? It's on fire. As far as going on, we can't go up there. We got to turn around and go somewhere else. Okay? So, you know, I decided that, you know what? We're going to just turn around. We're going to get to 95. And then we're just going to keep driving until we find a really cool part to go. So now we're on the road, and one thing you will always see on the road is signs, and you're always in the weather. You're always in the elements, okay? So let's say now you're driving, and you come to a storm, all right? You come to a storm, and you must always realize that in our lives, there's only three types of storms, okay? Three types of storms. I'm going to do a whole sermon on this. Later on down the line, but there's three types of storms. I'm only going to explain them, but I'm going to leave that for another lesson. The first type of storm, okay, that storms we make, storms that we create. There are storms in our lives that we put in our lives that ain't got to do with no one else. The second type of storm are storms other people cause. People always trying to get in your way. People always trying to persuade you to do things that you don't want to do, and things you got to deal with. And then there are storms that God allows you to go through. There are storms that God allows you to go through. And when you're on the road, you will run into storms. And one thing you will run into are signs. Now, what do you think is the most important sign on the freeway, on the street, or anything like that? The most important sign. Okay, mainly on the street, because you won't see the sign that much on a freeway unless you're on a rural highway or something like that. Most important sign. Huh? Speed limit is very important, okay? You don't want to be speed, alright? You don't want to be speed, but you can get away with speeding, okay? I'm not telling you to speed, okay? I'm not telling you to speed. I'm not condoning speed. You can get away with speeding, but you cannot get away with doing this. What do you think that is? Running a stop sign, okay? The most important sign on the road is a stop sign, okay? Running stop signs. And the Pharisees and Sadducees were asking for a sign, all right? They were asking for the sign, and they were talking about the weather at the same time. They were trying to find something to trap Jesus. So let's go to, let me get there myself. They demanded for a sign. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to start at verse 38. All right. They're asking for a sign. And then some Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "Wicked and adulterous generation, ask for a miracle sign, but none will be given except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up and the judgment of the generation and condemn it, for they repent of the preaching of Jonah." And now there's one greater than Jonah is here. And there's another passage that talks about when the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test Jesus, asking him to show them a sign from heaven. They waited for a sign. But Jesus replied, and he's talking about the weather, "When the evening comes, you say, the weather will be fair, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but not the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation demands a sign, but none will be given except for the sign of Jonah." And then he left them and went away. People know how bad things really are right now. Okay? The Christians, we should know, okay? We should know how bad things are. The government really knows how bad things are. Things are changing, and then I'll change it for the better. And this is just a clear implication that, you know what, I'm just so glad there's a better place out there, because it ain't worth sticking around for this. It's just not worth it. I am so glad there are things in this, not of this world, that is way better. And there's a place that we can go that's better than this, okay? Now I understand when I meet some elderly people, and they're Christians, and they say, thank God that I won't be here too much longer. All right? Now I know why they say that. When I was young, I'm like, we talk about that great life, you know, I'm young, spry, run. When you get older and wiser, I'm not that wise. I'm getting older, but I'm not that wise. Your perspective on life, for some reason, I see now it comes so much simpler. Becomes so much simpler, and things become so much clearer. Now, I imagine it's going to get clearer as I get older. But now I can see it in their eyes that I know why you're saying these things. I'm not saying that they stop giving up on people or stop giving up on serving God. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is they can see the light in the tunnel, knowing that things are only going to get better for me. Okay? Because I know I ain't going to be here too much long. That takes a whole lot of faith. Okay? And it takes a whole lot of hope in the promise that's going to be prepared for them. Okay? But that's where we all need to be. So when you're on the road, you will see many signs, and you will definitely run into the elements. But what about buildings, okay? There's a lot of buildings that you're going to run into going from city to city, especially if you're going on the I-15 going down to California. You're definitely going to see a whole lot of little cities, okay? But make no mistake about it, on the road trip, you'll see hundreds of them. Some are beautiful, but if you didn't know, the top 10 buildings in the world are not in America. Okay, the top 10 buildings in the world are in Rome or in France or someplace like that. Okay, but if you did not know this, that four of the most beautiful buildings in the world, guess what? They're not castles. Okay, they're not government buildings. Guess what they are? They're churches. They're churches. And Italy and Rome. In France, these beautiful cathedrals that I just looked up and on the internet a couple of days ago about most beautiful buildings in the world, and it listed 20 of them, and I couldn't believe it. These are churches, beautiful masterpieces and paintings and stuff inside of them. And who is a church? We are a church. But look at this. Materialistic, the way we are, we want a beautiful building to go into when we're supposed to be a church. Okay, look at where we're meeting at. All right. Now I'm not ungrateful or anything for being here. But guess what? We can have a worship service and conduct it in a way that God will be pleased with. He is not concerned about how beautiful the buildings are. But there are people that are so concerned about that stuff that they will drive so far. They'll make it one of those bucket list type of things to go to this city just to see that building, when that building is not who we are. And these people will be in the church. These people will be in the church and will want to do that. Now, am I, are beautiful buildings something to look down upon? No. Okay. But I'm not talking about the number one building. I'm not talking about the Palace of Versailles. I'm not saying it right. Versailles, someplace in France, is the most beautiful building in the world. If you gotta say it right, sorry. Okay. But the Palace of Versailles, I'm probably saying it wrong. It was named the most beautiful building in the world. It's in France. Okay. Number four. All right. Is the Milan Cathedral. Okay. The church in Milan, the fifth largest church in the world. Okay, and it's in Milan, Italy. Okay, then you got number nine, the cathedral at Santa Maria del Fiore, is the main church of Florence, Italy. It's top 10, and they're churches. Okay, but what did Jesus say about the church? What did he say about the kingdom? Okay, let's go to Luke chapter 17. All right. Luke chapter 17, and we'll read verse 20 and 21. All right. The Bible says, once, having been asked by the Pharisees, when will the kingdom of God will come? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. It is within, not without. Okay? Kingdom of God is within. So we build these beautiful things that we can look at with our eyes, and we say, oh man, we got a beautiful church building, worship at. Oh, that's so great. Okay? But that ain't the church. That's just some materialist that people will call the church to feel good about themselves. Look at what we accomplished. Okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to read verses 13 through 18. Some of y'all might have known I was going there. Say, ah. Outside, not inside no building, when Jesus is doing this, okay? I'm starting at verse 13, all right? Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But what about you? I want to know. He asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. A person, not a building, but a person. I will, based on your confession that you being that I was the Son of God, I will build my church based off your confession, Peter. Not you, Peter, but your confession I will build my church. Not based off you. That's the confusion. The confusion is, oh, okay, so Peter's a church. No, Peter's a human being that Christ made that Peter's confession is what I made the church off of, not him, okay? Because there's a St. Peter Cathedral. I don't know how many of them in the world. There's a whole lot of them. Okay, named after all kind of people that I didn't even know existed. Saint this, saint that. How many saints are there? A whole lot of them, okay, that I don't know, all right? But I'm talking about this Peter right here, the one that Jesus called Peter, okay? Let me go back to where I was. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it, okay? And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. A person, not a church, but a person, all right? Romans 16, 16, the Bible says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. He's talking about the people, okay? So don't get caught up with that stuff. But you will see many buildings that proclaim to be the church, okay? It's the people inside of it, all right? It's the people inside of it. That's the church. We meet up to here. Together to have service. That's the church. Alright? You take it with you. You are the church. You take the church with you wherever you go. Alright? I can't make that no clearer than that. Alright? And also, when you are driving on the road, you're not the only one on the road. There's a whole lot of people on the road with you. Okay? And they will try to get in your lane. Even when you're driving straight. There's people always trying to impede in your space, trying to get in your lane. You got to deal with the elements. You got to deal with all the signs. And then you got to deal with crazy people trying to get in your lane. Like the things I was talking about in the beginning on, I've never seen so much moving around with this election. People trying to persuade you this way or that way. People come to my house. This ain't never happened before. Knocking on my door. Asking, who am I going to vote for? They ain't got nothing to do with this. This ain't your business. I'm not telling you nothing. At first, I would entertain them. And in the beginning, I was. We have a good conversation. But it got to be too much. This was every other day. I'm thinking I'm getting a package from Amazon or eBay. And it's a person asking, who am I voting for? So people are trying to get in your lane. People are trying to force their beliefs on you, the kind of stuff in the educational system, forcing you to learn about homosexuality. You can't even go through college now without taking this inclusion diversity class that has nothing to do with diversity or inclusion. They should just call it, I'm going to force this upon you class. And then if you have an opinion or you have anything that talks about the Bible, they don't want to hear anything like that. They want to go against anything that has to do with the scriptures you study. They say you give a reference, but you can't give any, a whole lot of passages. We want to hear what you think about it. They don't want to hear anything when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to that stuff, because they know the Bible condemns it. And they know the Bible ain't going to change, so they try to change you. The book don't change. They want to change you. Because if they can get the people of God to change their mind on how they view these kind of things, they normalize it, they desensitize it, and now it's everywhere, and you can't stop us now. It makes it even closer to me, like, thank God that, this road ain't my home. I'm just passing through, because this stuff is getting worse and worse, and it's right there in your face now. You can't avoid it. All right? And then they'll call you this, or call you that. If you don't support it, I say, you know what? I love you as a person. But it don't mean I gotta love your lifestyle. That's a very big difference there. It means you're not gonna come my way. I'm like, I can't go your way. Because, the Bible says, God made them both male and female. I can't support that. So you don't like? No, I love you. But I can't love that. I can't love what you're doing. That's a difference. Okay? God sees marriage as sacred. When did God take sacrilege out of marriage? Just to satisfy your comfortability or who you think you are, can't do that. But there are lane changes that people are trying to get in your way, trying to change your views, your beliefs. Don't. You got to stay straight. Okay? You got to stay straight. So let's go to Romans chapter 14. We're going to help some people. Church, though, all right, that struggle with this. They struggle. All right, Romans 14. We're going to read verses 1 down to verse 9, okay? Romans 14, the Bible says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. Do not quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the other person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise of the one who abstains, and let them not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. For who are you to pass judgment on the person or the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands and falls when he is upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than the other, while another person esteems all day alike. Each one of them should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor to the Lord. The one who eats and eats in honor to the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains abstains in honor to the Lord, and the one who gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself. And none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then when we live, or whether we die, we are the Lord. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be both the dead, the Lord of both the dead and the living. So either way, we belong to God. Don't judge people if they're vegetarians. Don't judge if they're vegans. Don't judge them if they're gay. Or whatever. We cannot judge people. Okay? One thing we can do is pray for them. Okay? And be there for them. But I'm sorry. Alright? There's scripture that says, and so were you. There were people that were this way during Jesus' time, like there is now. Like the stuff we read about earlier. There's nothing new under the sun. This ain't nothing new. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Okay, things can be way worse than what there is Bible says, for I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. So what he's saying is we got to do better than what these people just know the book says. We got to do way better than giving lip service to God. We need to be doers and not just hearers of the word. Because they know the word. They know the law. That don't mean they're going to obey it. It ain't got nothing to do with what we know. It has nothing to do with that. Why know something and not do it? Why hear something and not act upon it? Why see a problem and not try to fix it? That's more insane than not knowing there was a problem. I hope you know that. It's more insane not to fix a problem that you know is a problem versus having a problem you didn't know was a problem. And it takes a whole lot more effort to do nothing than it does to do something that you know you can do something about. That's crazy, okay? But you will see people getting in your lane, especially the more faithful you get, the more you get into this, and the more you start reading your Bible. And Satan knows when you're reading God's word. He knows when you are faithful. If he can't get to you, he gonna get to your spouse. He gonna get to your friends. He gonna get to somebody that's gonna ruffle your feather. He's gonna get to somebody that you hold dear. And you're gonna realize, why is this happening to me? What did I do? And like I said before, in the storms, there's some storms we create, and there's some storms that others want to put on us, and that's one of those storms right there. Okay? And another thing you will see that you will have to do when you're on the road, you're going to have to make turns, turn left and turn right, okay? But when we're talking about this road, okay, to heaven, we need to just keep straight. Keep straight. Don't turn to left or turn to the right, all right? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to read verse 26 and 27. And then we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Okay? In order to avoid wrecks of panic, you must stay in your lane. All right? Most time I stay in the middle, or I stay in the left lane, because I don't like being in that slow lane. I don't like being in that lane. That's where the trucks are. And slow people. Might not get nothing against slow drivers, but, you know, I'm trying to get there. So, I got nothing to say about that. I don't get there. Alright, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26 to 27. Alright, the Bible says, watch the path of your feet. Watch where you're going. Be conscious of the decisions and the choices you make. And be conscious of the people that are around you when you're making your choices. A lot of the choices we make have a lot to do with the people in our circle who are making those choices. We don't see it that way. But we are always cognizant of the choices we make and how they're going to affect our friends and the people that we surround ourselves with. A lot of times we make choices, we don't make them for ourselves. We make them for the comfort of others. If I make this choice, this person ain't going to be around me. They ain't going to want to hang out with me. They're going to think I'm a sellout. They're going to think this. They're going to think that. You need to start thinking for yourself and about where you want to spend eternity. All right? Making the right choices are seldom easy. Very seldom easy. Making the right choices, making comfort choices, they're going to always be easy because they ain't got no sacrifice in. All right? But Solomon's saying is watch your path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. All right? And again, the verse, the top of the verse and the bottom of the verse ends the same, right? It says, watch the path of your feet. And at the end of the verse, it says, turn your foot from evil. So basically, if you're doing something wrong, turn away from it, okay? Turn away from it. God is the one who's going to guide your path and make all your ways will be established. Means that you will be able to make the right decision every time. That's what he means when he says that. And all your decisions will be established means you will always be able to make the right decisions if you take God with you when you're making your decision. God with you when you're making your decision, you will make the right decision every single time. But you're not trusting on yourself when you make the decision. You're trusting on God when you make a decision. Okay? You're trusting on Him. That's why Solomon also says, lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on it. Because you don't know everything. You rather trust you won't trust yourself when you don't know it all, and you can trust someone who has infinite understanding. I know that sounds too easy, but we make it that hard. Alright, we make it that hard. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Alright? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. When it talks about God's word and how to handle it, handle it correctly. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Rightly dividing the word of truth. And there's the classic verse in Matthew 7 that talks about, enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth into destruction, and there be many be which go thereat. But because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and a few be there that follow it. Okay? And how do you know if someone's turning in the right direction? That's what Matthew 7, we're going to start at verse 15. How do you know when someone's turning in the right direction? Jesus tells us if someone's turning in the right direction. He tells us. Alright, we gotta listen to him. Okay? What he says, sometimes contrary to the people that we're hanging around, people that we associate with, and the people that we're involved with. Even if you're not directly, you might know someone that's directly involved with them. God tells us how to sort through. Okay? How to sort through. So in verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets, okay? Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? No, they don't. Okay? They don't do that. This is what they do. So every good tree that bringeth forth good fruit, every tree that bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire, whereas by their fruits you shall know them. Not guess or wonder or I think. You will know. What people do, you will know. You can't trust what people say. You can't trust what people say. I'm sorry. You can't trust what people say. You can trust what they do. Always. You can always trust what people do. What people say is way different. That's why it says they come in false clothing and inwardly they are ravening wolves, because what they say sounds perfect. What they do is a whole other thing. A whole other thing. And Jesus knows that by experience. He says, by their fruit you will know them. He watches what people do, not what they say. You can say all the right things in worship. Say all the right things in church. Anyone can act holy around holy. Even Satan can do that. He does it. What are you doing? Coming to and forth in the earth, up and down in it. I know how to act right around God. I ain't stupid. You consider my servant Job? Yep. Yep, I have. But, you protect him. You do all the stuff for him. So I can't get to him. Or I'm going to let you get to him. I'm going to let you test him. Just don't kill him. Okay? And when you let me test him, he's going to curse it to your face. I'll tell you that. Okay, let's see. Jesus, God already knew, but, that tells you that Satan don't know everything. If Satan would have known that it wasn't going to work, he wouldn't have tried this stuff on him. He's wasting his time. Satan don't like wasting his time. You have to know that. If he said, I'm moving, going up and down the earth, to and fro in it, that means that he's not omnipresent, and he's not, that means that he don't know everything, and he's not everywhere all the time. That means that he had a whole lot of help helping him do what he wants. That's what it tells you and I. He got help, and he moves like every, like a other spirit. Okay. All right. Bridges. All right. Now, right before you get to your destination, what usually happens? Okay. I know what happens to me. If I've been driving.
doze off, all right? One's all doze off too early, going to a ditch. One turn too short, you can wreck your car. Okay, 1 mile too fast, you can get a ticket, run into somebody. All right, let's go to Psalm chapter 127, verse 1 and 2, okay? You gotta remember, even when you're tired, you gotta remember, okay, that God needs to, God still has your back, okay? Psalms 127, verse 1 and 2. Alright, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labor in vain. That means they spend all their time building a house. They get tired like everybody else. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards watching in vain. In vain you rise up early, and stay up late. You're tired, you're toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep for those he loves. So even though, okay, I am tired, I gotta always remember who's watching over me and who is protecting me, okay? We all get tired at times, okay? I don't like saying the word tired because psychologically I think it does something to you, but we all get tired. But guess what? We gotta remember that we're serving someone who never gets tired, for God is a spirit. He never gets tired. He's always willing to hear us, all right? There are times when my friends don't want to hear me. Okay? They don't want to hear me all the time. They don't want to hear this all the time. There are times where, you know what, can you talk about something else? Please don't talk about something. You know, but God is willing to hear what I'm saying to what, no matter how tired you get. Okay? There's a friend that you can't call at all times. All right? There's some friends that you can call at all times. Okay? Iron sharpening iron, so a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. Okay? But God is that friend. Even when you're tired, you got to always remember. He's going to always be there, okay? And when you get to your destination, what do you want? What's the one thing you want as soon as you get there? You want to sleep. You want rest, okay? Remember, we are on a road trip. Even when you get there, I just want a bed. I just want a bed. I don't care if it's comfortable. I don't care if the pillows rock. I don't care if the sheets, okay, they need to be clean. Okay, I'm not saying they need to be dirty. They need to be clean, all right? But I can have the most uncomfortable pillow, okay? I can have the thinnest sheets. As long as the bed is nice, I'm going straight to sleep, all right? That's just me. And God will give us rest. What did Jesus say, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28-29? Come unto me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and I will find rest for your souls. Take, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay? Take my yoke upon him. Okay? A whole lot of times, we needlessly carry around burdens that we don't need to. Too often, we forget, okay, the ways of Jesus. We forget how gentle and sweet he is. We forget his patience. We forget all the long suffering he showed upon us and his disciples. We can see how much he cares or how much he deals with these disciples. He's telling them what he's going to do for them, and they still doubt. He's doing miracles in their faces, and they still doubt. Even after he was resurrected, they still doubted. So what does that tell us? When the perfect person that didn't make no mistake, didn't do nothing wrong, you can still doubt that person, but that's the one I'm going to give you rest for. So that tells us that, even though we don't see Jesus and we believe in him and what he's going to do for us, we have strong faith, because it takes a whole lot to believe in something you've never seen. All right? It takes a whole lot. Now, when you're looking for God, okay, when you look out into the sky, you look in the sky. You don't look out. So God is something that you look in for. You don't look out. Does that make sense? You look in the sky for God like you look in yourself for God. Okay? Now, I'm going to be focusing on the place that's way better than rest. Because after I got to my destination, I got my rest. Yes, now we're in a new park. Everything is going good. I'm taking all my pictures. We have a nice camp. We have some good food. Beautiful memories. But now it's time to do what? It's time to go home. Because I don't care how comfortable that bed is in the hotel. I don't nice this state was, there's nothing better than going home. And this world is not our home. When Dorothy, and that movie in 1939, with Wizard of Oz, I just want to go home. She said, well, you got them slippers on. All you got to do is click those suckers three times and say, there's no place like home. And then it went to the, and then she got back home to Kansas. Well, guess what? Our home is not in Kansas. All right? Let's go to John chapter 14. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Our home is not in Kansas, even though that's where I was born. I was born in Wichita. I ain't never lived there, but I was born there. And then something. As soon as I was born, I got shipped out. Jesus tells us of the home that's really ours. I got a house in Vegas. It ain't really mine. It ain't really mine. Okay, the place that's really mine, I haven't even seen yet. That's a beautiful thing, all right? Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me that you also will be where I am. I'm taking you somewhere else that's not this place. It is not here. It is somewhere else because I have to go to prepare that place. I have to leave here to go prepare another place for you that's not here. Okay? He says, I go place for you and I'll take you back with me also. So you also will be there with me. You will know the way to the place where I'm going. You're going to know the place. You're going to know the way. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way. That's how you know the way. I'm the truth and the life. I'm the way there. I'm the truth to what you need on earth. And I'm the life that's going to be there after you die. I'm going to still be there. You will never die. I will tell you the way there. I will tell you the truth while you're alive. And with me, you will never die. No one comes to the Father except through me. So I'm going to protect you from anything else that's going to keep you away from the destination I'm preparing from you if you just do what I say. No one comes to the Father except through me. Ain't no other way. So I'm the only way to the place you're trying to go. And I'm the only way there. And you can't get there without me. You can't get there without me. I'm the only way there. And I'm the only way to the Father. I'm all you got. So you want to go home? You can't go home without me. So you're not going home alone. That's the beautiful thing. You're not going home alone. Okay? You're not going home alone. And if there's anyone here today who thinks that they're alone, it's a lie. It's not true. Don't believe it. Okay? Faith is the best at convincing you that he don't exist. He's the best at doing that. He wants to make it look like, he definitely wants to make sure he know God exists. He definitely wants to do that. So you will deny him to say, if God was so great, why would he allow this? Okay? Don't buy into this. Okay? God is not slacking his promise as though man counts slackness, but is long suffering to us for not that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Okay? All you need to do is hear God's word, like you just heard this morning. Believe on his word like your life depends on it. Repent of your sins, turn your ways from the way you were living. And even after you come out of the water, you gotta keep repenting because it is an ongoing change. It's not a cold turkey thing that you wanna change overnight. It's gonna take years upon decades to change. It ain't gonna happen just like that. It just don't work. It's not realistic. Any life change you make is something that happens over time. It becomes a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle that takes a lifetime